Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
It's December. It's the holiday season. It's the time of year you've been waiting for all year for your e-commerce business. And you're doing awesome, except you're being crushed under the volumes. And you kind of feel like you're in over your head. Well, you wouldn't be if you were using Whiplash, modern fulfillment that is built to scale. As a Hack the Entrepreneur listener, exclusively, you can get $100 credit by signing up today. Go right now and check it out. GetWhiplash.com/hack. That's GetWhiplash.com/hack. Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a YouTuber, blockchain evangelist, and an entrepreneur. He also loves to curse, so just please be warned. He's the founder of BlockGeeks, an online hub covering the rapidly evolving world of blockchain technologies. Don't worry, this kind of confuses me too, but we get into it. He's also a marketing strategist and has worked with global brands such as 5-Minute Journal, Luxie Hair, and QCon. In addition to all this, my guest can be found on YouTube talking about everything from marketing and business growth to biohacking and privacy. Now, let's hack Amir Rosic. All right, before we get into the interview today, I want to just take a moment and thank today's sponsor. Whiplash, modern fulfillment built to ship. You're running an e-commerce business, and Whiplash is your virtual warehouse. You send your products to a Whiplash facility, and when your customers order, Whiplash ships it to them, just like you would, but faster and cheaper. They have warehouse facilities in Detroit, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and London, England. Whiplash will get your products to your customers faster, no matter where they live in the world. Plus, Whiplash connects easily with major shopping carts like Shopify, Magento, and Bandcamp, so you can get up and running faster and easier. Remember, if you're being crushed under holiday volumes, this should be a time to celebrate, not to feel like you're in over your head. And you wouldn't be if you were using Whiplash. Contact Whiplash now so this goes down in history as the last holiday season that you shipped for yourself. Don't get stressed out. Get Whiplash. Go to getwhiplash.com/hack right now. And exclusively for being a Hack the Entrepreneur listener, you are going to get $100 credit for getting started today. That's getwhiplash.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest, Amir. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here, John, man. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent, man. It's absolutely my pleasure to have you. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
For sure.
What do you say? Should we do this?
Let's do it.
All right. Amir, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Being stubborn. Yeah, I would say not looking for approval or not looking for people's answers to my problems and just being really, really stubborn and just doing what I want to do.
Nice. Is this something, a way you've always been, or did you sort of?
I've always been that way. And obviously for everything, there's a double-edged sword. There's a negative and a positive. It is a tool. And it's screwed me up many times in my life. So instead of me viewing it as a negativity or this stubborn characteristic trait of myself, I view it as a superpower and I kind of hone it. So then I utilize my stubbornness with some feedback from other people. But I keep in mind that I want to alter the reality of how I view it, how I see it, because each of us, we view the world differently. You view the world through your glasses. I view the world through my glasses. And we come to agreements between you and I. However, I think the biggest problem with most people, regardless if it's entrepreneurism or just living their own life, is a lot of times they're too much influenced by what's happening around in their lives, by, say, their spouse, their partners, what society's telling them, or even what other entrepreneurs are telling them. For example, if you look at the entrepreneur space right now, everybody views these like Silicon Valley giant companies, whether that is Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg or even Amazon, Jeff Bezos. And they're like the one, they're not even the 1%, like they're like the 0.1% of the 1%ers. I'm like, don't judge yourself or don't compare yourself to them. You just do you. It's a long battle. And, you know, always relate to the story of the tortoise versus the hare. Who won that story? The tortoise. So just stay your course.
Wow. But so, I mean, full disclaimer, which I talked about in the intro is, I mean, I know you personally and stuff, and you seem like the hare, just like on an energy level. I wouldn't have related you to the tortoise right there.
Well, no, on the energy level on my hair, don't get me wrong. I have ADD. Like I'm always chasing the next shiny object. But what I mean by stubbornness is like when I have my mindset on something, you know, you're going to need the whole universe to stop me.
Nice.
God Almighty has to come down and say, Amir, you're going to stop. And even then I'm not going to stop. So that's what I mean by stubbornness. And I think a lot of people, they lose a lot of faith in themselves and they have maybe one or two failures in their life and then they stop. Like for me, I've had countless failures for as long as I can remember. And I'm probably going to fail more and more as I age, but don't let that stop you. So that stubbornness is kind of like the fact of, listen, regardless of if you're doing this business or that business or changing business, just keep on going.
Yeah. How much like weight do you put onto education? So you get an idea of something you want to do. How much time would you spend like, I'm going to learn everything about this, or do you kind of jump in and then figure it out?
Oh, I dive in right away. Nice. So for me, I learn as I go. I'm not a big theory person where I'm just going to read about it. I always say like, you want to ride a bike? You can read every single book about riding a bike, but until you get on a bike, you're not really going to learn how to ride a bike. So you got to pretty much internalize it. Just jump into it. Like, for example, if you want to do an e-commerce business, well, instead of you reading every blog, just do it. Go on Alibaba, find some products, ship them over, use Shopify, and start getting an e-commerce business. Or if you want to start a tech company, go meet up with some programmers, or maybe you're a programmer yourself. Code something good that solves people's problems. Get a couple of customers, become stubborn, raise some money, and then continue on. But at the end of the day, when you're actually doing the process, there's two things that happen over here. One, you internalize the actual experience going through it. And two, what you can't read in a book, you get wisdom. So those two, no matter how much money you pay or who you talk to, you can't learn from another source. You actually have to be doing it to learn it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Internalize it from experience.
Mm-hmm.
So this sort of jumping in, I think is kind of, it's a good spot for this because we need to go back now. You've been at this sort of entrepreneurial game for quite some time now.
Yeah.
And so I know going through it, it doesn't always make sense, but looking back on our lives, there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life when they sort of realize something about themselves, that either they had this calling to make this huge difference in the world, or as mostly seems to be the case, they just found they couldn't work for somebody else anymore.
Sure.
So Amir, what side of the fence do you see yourself on? And can you take us back to when you discovered this?
I discovered this early, man. I never worked for anybody. I was like, they kicked me out of high school when I was like grade 9. So I must have been like 15 years of age. I can't take orders from people. That's kind of like, I don't know, it's a trigger in me. It's like a pet peeve. Someone tells me, Amir, you got to do this. And I look at them like, well, I'm like, who the fuck are you to tell me what to do? And I'm like, no one's going to tell me what to do. Nobody. I don't give a shit who you are. So in a young age, kicked out of high school and started hustling. What I mean by hustling, doing whatever I did for money and lived a crazy, interesting life for a very long time. It was fun. I was reckless, made a shit ton of money doing crazy different things. But I knew from a very, very early age that I could never have a boss and I could not take orders very well. And that I had to have, like, one of my non-negotiables in life is like, I must have my freedom. I'm a wild, wild wolf. I don't have, if I make a schedule, it's under my own jurisdiction. So basically, I make my own schedule. It's not someone telling me where I have to be or what I have to do. So that was kind of primed into my psyche from a very young age that I have to be a wild wolf. And like, for example, tomorrow I want to disappear to Ottawa, I'll go to Ottawa. Or if I got to go wherever I want to do, I'm there doing it. No one's going to define what I can do and where I can do it and how should I do it.
Nice. I like it. And so from 15... realizing that you are like, you have to do your own thing. You're non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Is your freedom.
Yes.
At what point though, did you, like, now looking back, like, did you realize that, holy shit, I'm an entrepreneur? Like, this is what I'm doing. I'm building things. I'm not just like just hustling for money anymore. This is literally now you're going to build businesses.
Well, I would say that happened about 7 years ago. But yeah, roughly 7 or 8 years. I'm 31. My life kind of transformed when I was like 21. You know, left that life, went to jail for a little bit, got into trouble. That wasn't the tipping point. In fact, that's a whole different story. But I would say about 7 years ago when I got kind of bored of my old life and kind of like, I want to say soul searching. I would say trying to figure out what would actually make me happy and kind of look at the commonalities of what I did in the past and from all the different businesses I had and what I did. I came to a realization that I was misguided by my own demons when I was younger. And I just took those demons when I was younger and transmuted them into a positive manner. So I took that natural gift of being an entrepreneur and I kind of mutated into a beneficial way about 7 years ago. But that came through different elements in my life and different experiences in my life. It wasn't just one day and I had aha, eureka, euphoria, bada bing, bada boom. This is exactly how I'm going to transform my life. It's like one thing happened over here, which connected over there. It's a compound effect. Next thing you know, and I'm doing good things and the rest is history.
Nice. I love it. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like usually going through it, it doesn't make any sense. Like there's no just like, there it is. But looking back, you can kind of tell like, oh, around then that's when, or that's the first business I sort of built. And then.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So you said your one thing is that stubbornness, right? So knowing what you want and just going after it.
Yep.
Every business expert now talks about this 80-20 rule. You do the 20%, get 80% of the results.
Sure.
Do what you're good at, delegate the rest. Amir, can you tell me something that you're absolutely not good at in your business?
Details. When it comes to like those small details, like, well, for example, accounting, forget about it. Hire an accountant. Anything to do with numbers, I don't want to see it. And I had a huge issue when I was with money when I was younger. And not money as in fact that I couldn't make money. That's my problem. In my mind, money is always easy to make. Fuck, they print money, man. I just go make more money. The fact is like I had no respect for it, so I just kept on blowing it. 5,000 one day, spend 5,000 the same night, 10,000 one day, spend 10,000 the same night. However, the one thing I'm not really good at is like small details. You know, people who like to cross the T's and dot the I's and look at everything, that's not me. I'm like a hurricane. I'm a fire starter. Like if you tell me, John, Amir, you need to go do this and we're going to raise, you know, $500,000 and we're going to start this business. Okay, you blink, I'm done. But it's a mess. You know, you got to come in, tidy everything up after me and like make sure everything's okay. But I get the fucking ball rolling.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm like a hurricane.
I'm serious. I'm like a hurricane, bro.
I know, man. I get that vibe from you.
Yeah.
So with the details, are these things that you put into place? Like, are you a good delegator? Do you know when to let go of things that you just cannot do?
Fuck, I hate micromanaging. Bro, if you come to me and you're like, yo, Amir, I'm the best at like, I don't know, podcasting. I'll get your podcast like 10 million hits. I'm like, fuck, John, here's the money. See you later. Call me. I don't give a shit. Like I'll leave anything in other people's hands if I trust them and I know they're the best. I hate micromanagement. I hate looking over people's shoulders. If you tell me I'm good at this, I trust you, go do it. For me, I'm all about tell you one time, don't bug me again. See you later. So yeah, for when it comes to delegation, I love it. It's easy. It's simple.
So that's what it is though. It's trust. You only work with people you trust.
It's trust. But I also hate when people come to me and they're like, oh, can you help me with this problem? I look at the problem. I'm like, you're telling me you can't solve this shit yourself? I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, come to me with big problems that actually you and I have to sit down and like crunch our heads together. But like the small stuff that you can literally go on Google or like look at, like, for example, your SOPs on Google Drive or whatever resources you have, don't fucking bother me, man. That irritates me because I'm like, you know, you're a grown human adult. You have a brain, all the resources there, you know, do your research. And if you really have a problem that I can help you with, like a true problem, I'd be more than happy to help you with.
Yeah, I like that. So is this something though, like when you share this sort of like trust with people or only bring people around you with trust, is this also why you've chosen to deal with a co-founder now? Or is this something you've done in the past? Like, do you bring in people and give like equity share to things rather than try and just hire people to fill positions?
Yeah. Pretty much every single business I had was co-founders. some went great, some went fucking horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with the talent at all. It's not the skills that matter. It's not the talent that matters. It's literally what matters is the chemistry between each other. It's how you're wired. Maybe you're an introvert, he's an extrovert. I think especially going forward with any project I would do with anybody or any business I'm in the future, I think a great resource to kind of determine how you're wired and how the other partners in the business are wired is something called DISC behavioral profiling. There's an individual called Steve Sisler. He's, I think, one of the best in the world. I've done it twice with him right now. And it's kind of like having a Jedi mind master go into you and really understand who you are, how you're wired. And so what's great about it is, like, for example, let's say, John, you do it and I do it. And we realize, like, okay, Amir is a hurricane. He's altruistic. He has these profiles. He's good at X, Y, and Z. Well, John's the opposite, which is great. So then we kind of make the yin and the yang together. If we're both the same profile, we're clashing with each other. So you need to balance my weakness and I need to balance your weakness. So we create a whole unity together.
Wow. I like that. DISC. Yeah, I think I did the DISC and I'm a mastermind. You're not a hurricane. There's no hurricane.
Yeah, that's a guy. Yeah. Steven Sisler from Mastermind. Exactly. Yeah,
totally. I've done that. That's awesome. Cool. I'll link to that for people to track down in the show notes. So let's move to projects now. Yeah. We're talking about partners. We're talking about what you're good at, what you're bad at, but let's move to projects. You've just taken on a big new business / project, mm-hmm. we're going to call it for this, Block yeah. Geeks. I would like to know, somebody who's been doing this since you were 15 years old and how you said you just like go for things and just totally just all in.
Yeah.
I want to know what your process is and whether that's a written process or just an internal gut process, Amir. But what was the process you went through to decide that Block Geeks was totally like a new business that was worth your time, energy, and resources?
Well, Block Geeks, I fell into it. No, that's not fair to say. I would say it is between, as you mentioned, half follow my gut and half DD, due diligence. So basically the last couple of years, I was getting really tired of what I was doing. So in the past, I had an e-commerce business for underwear. I had consulting businesses for marketing, so helping companies, and a bunch of other investments on the side. So I was all over the place, kind of trying to figure out my next big thing I want to do. I've been following Bitcoin for a while, not really got into the space, but following it. And it's been proliferating, growing, like the whole space has exploded in the last like 2-3 years. And I was kind of cheesed because I'm pretty young and I kind of missed the whole .com boom. And I'm like, man, I wish I had gone through that because that's pretty cool shit. And basically, a good friend of mine, his son created this big platform called Ethereum, which kind of opened up my mind to different possibilities of this technology, which is called blockchain. And I'm like, my God, this technology is going to revolutionize the world. It's going to help so many impoverished people around the world. And it's going to really help people kind of break through these limitations that we have currently with commerce, with banking, with currency, with finance, etc. And exact same time, I was going through my own ups and downs in my business, trying to figure out my next play. So basically what I did is for the last year and a half, give or take, I was consulting a bunch of Bitcoin blockchain companies in Toronto, helping them with the marketing. Obviously, that's my background for the last couple of years. And I kept on seeing about 2-3 reoccurring questions and problems exact same time. And the first question was like, I had a lot of my other entrepreneur friends who aren't involved in the tech space asking me how they can find more information about this. And I told them bluntly, I'm like, I really don't know what resources you can go to. It's all around the internet. It's like, you got to jump from one hoop to the next. It's pretty crazy. Second of all, a lot of investors were asking me how they can get involved in the space. Is there some kind of syndicates they can join? Is there somebody they can talk to? I'm like, not really, tell you the truth. This place, it's pretty, pretty convoluted, this space. And I had a kind of eureka moment. I'm like, well, I spent a lot of time on Quora. I spent a lot of time on like inbound.org for marketing. I'm like, why the hell isn't there kind of like an ecosystem or like an innovation hub for blockchain at the moment? Where if somebody wanted to ask a question, they can get an answer. If somebody wanted to see all the startups, what they're doing, that's there. If somebody wanted to kind of join like a syndicate for investing, that's there. I'm like, this is crazy. That's not here. Considering Bitcoin's been around for what, coming up 8 years now? So this idea came to me through osmosis. I didn't think of it. It's just from the sheer fact of consulting all these businesses and seeing their problems and getting the same repeated questions over and over again. I'm like, well, okay, this is kind of like the universe telling me, hello, Amir, this is a problem you need to solve, kind of getting hit in the head with a hammer. And then I pitched my friend which is my co-founder, the idea. I didn't pitch him as in like, let's invest or something, or let's go in business together. I'm like, hey, man, this is a crazy idea I have. What do you think about it? So we talked for a couple of months and the timing was right. He wanted to do something new. And like I said, I wanted to do something new and my gut was telling me, go do this. And it's part of like the next big dot-com boom, the blockchain boom. And all the stars align. And next thing you know, we got BlockGeeks.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it's not that it just came to you or not that it fell in your lap.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So this really seems to me like your mindset is from, this is just literally from talking to you the few times and from watching YouTube videos of yours, but your mindset is very, you don't complain. You don't just like, everything is kind of the way you sort of perceive it. It's like life isn't against you. The world's not against you. And ideas are kind of there. So you met the person who created Ethereum. So there was kind of this idea, but that didn't do something.
Oh, no, I met his father.
Okay, yeah. Right. So you met his father. And then you sort of came about this ideas of these community-based places putting all the information together. And you basically just combine the two as like a creative process and then turn it into a business. Like, I think it's just, am I wrong? But is that just sort of your mindset, like just to being open and accepting to everything and not trying to like rigidly oppose stuff?
Yeah, I've always followed my gut. My gut has saved me a lot in my past. And I'm pretty simple person, man. You know me. You met me a bunch of times now. If I don't like you, I don't like you. If I love you, I love you. You know, it's simple as that. There's no middle grounds with me. It's like either I'm all in and doing something or I'm out. That's it. There's no like one leg in or one leg out. And I'm a firm believer in giving everything that you have. I'm a firm believer in having open communication. So having a space where like if any partner or investor or client or customer has an issue, there's a safe forum environment that they can speak. And I've learned that the hard way to create something like that. But I'm also a firm believer in the unknown. You know, for example, if we look at certain businesses that have become successful, there is an X factor, and that X factor is timing. Timing, it's people don't talk that, they don't talk about that much, but timing is something that's crucial to the success of a business. And that's something that you can't really control per se, you know? So that's something that, you know, in my gut, truthfully, I believe we're at the right time for that. So I've just been following my gut and it's been, yeah, so far so good.
I love it. So what kind of metrics are you looking at for BlockGeeks to?
Yeah, great question. I'm a firm believer in keeping it simple, like KISS, keep it simple, stupid. So right now we're not monetizing yet. Monetization's probably going to happen late December or Q1 of 2017. So basically what we're doing right now is we're just looking at three metrics that matter the most for the growth. Metric number one, unique visitors per month to the website. So what I'm looking at, and we only launched literally, I think September 7th or 8th, we launched the live site, like very basic MVP, minimum viable product. So we only been around for 4 months, give or take. So we look at unique visitors to the website. Right now, we just surpassed 63,000 unique views, all organic, no paid traffic whatsoever. Second metric, what we're looking for is, because we are a community forum like Quora, we're looking at comments, how many users are commenting on our blog or on our community every single week. And finally, what I'm looking at is, like, obviously you can relate to this, John, we're looking at how many emails we get from a week-to-week basis.
Right. That's awesome. So those are your metrics to know if you're heading in the right direction and if you...
For now, yeah.
Nice. And so when you set up metrics like this, like when you say for now, is that literally just for this first quarter or do you have like a stage
I think it's going to switch is once we start monetizing. So we have a couple of things for monetization. We have a job board coming out soon. We're going to have a big version of like a Lynda on our website where a lot of enterprise companies can get training for the developers. Then we're going to have some other stuff in the pipeline as well. But I think where the metrics start changing is once we determine the funnel, the flow. So for example, let's say we're getting, you know, a couple of thousand new emails a week, a couple of thousand new users a week. The community's vibrant. We're getting a lot of comments per week. I want to tie that into, does that actually equal out to monetization? So if we have these metrics, they're all on the up and up of 20% per month. Does that actually equate to us making a dollar from our monetization streams? And if the answer is yes, I want to connect the dots. So let's say for the job board, we realize that, hey, there's a correlation with like the more users we get, the more job boards are posted, which equals ROI for us. Or is it the more comments we get, the more job board posting we get? So there's going to be a period where there's kind of like an R&D into the metrics to see the connection between what equates to what. Once we find that equation, then we know that's our next metrics to follow. So let's say for the sake of this conversation, more users actually using the site, not just email subscribers, actual users using the site equates to more job postings. Great. So that's the main thing that we focus on the next, like say, 6 months.
I love it. And I know you don't like the details. So how much of this sort of plan heading forward or roadmap is written out, and how much of it is just sort of in your head and what you want to do?
This is where disk profiling comes in, and knowing how you're wired. So my co-founder, he's wired very, not to the extreme, but he's very diligent and likes to write things down. In fact, I've learned many things from him. For example, what we do right now, we do something called OKRs. So every month we have our milestones that we want to hit. And it's very simple. It's not like super detailed. I'll give you examples. Like, all right, let's say for the podcast. So for December, we want to hit, I don't know, 1 million downloads. Great. How are we going to do that? We're going to do it by X, Y, and Z. Cool. What else do we want to do? Oh, we want to maybe get 10,000 subscribers. Great. How are we going to get 10,000 subscribers? X, Y, and Z. So we have our outcomes that we want for the end of December. And then every week we just have a recap, and like on a Friday, it's like, cool, what did you do this week? Are we on track? Are we hitting the metrics? So it's not like crazy in detail, but gives you kind of like the bird's eye view of what you want to accomplish month to month.
I love it. I love it. All right, Amir, it's been a blast, man.
Likewise, man. Always a pleasure.
I want to wrap up with one final question for you. Mm. So it's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap.
Yeah.
As entrepreneurs, as dreamers, I feel like we're always projecting our own successes into the future.
Yes.
So in 3 months, when you hit that metric, in 6 months, when you hit that next metric, or you stand on that stage, whatever it is you want to do, that's when you'll see yourself as successful. Yet both of us know that right before you hit that, you're going to set bigger, loftier ones into the future, which I agree we have to. But from the outside, you look successful to us. From the inside, it's always coming. And we end up in this gap, like walking towards the horizon. The further you walk, the further away it always gets.
Uh-huh.
So I want you, if you could right now, you've been at this game since you were 15 years old and kicked out of high school. I'm sure there's been highs, lows, wins, and losses. But turn around behind you and look and tell me how you feel about the whole journey up until today.
It's been incredible, man. If you told me even 3 years ago what I would be doing today, I'd be like, John, you're fucking crazy. 3 years ago. So I think, Joseph Campbell talks about this. We can never predict our future. You know, I never 10 years ago said I'm going to be doing in the tech space and working with cryptocurrency. Not in a million years. So I'm a firm believer. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the process. There is no end. No, the end is actually the process itself. So enjoy the ride for what it is. And just be happy that we're living the most abundant time as possible. Think about it. We can do whatever we want. You know, we have more resources than the King of England did 100 years ago in our hands. You know, think about that for a second. It's crazy. So just enjoy the process and have fun. And that's it, man.
I love it. The end is the process itself.
Mm.
All right, Amir, we've got to talk about you and your businesses in passing. I would love it if you could tell people where to track down BlockGeeks and kind of what it is. And then also tell them about this damn YouTube channel of yours, because it's brilliant.
So BlockGeeks, you can just reach it at BlockGeeks. So it's B-L-O-C-K Geek. So G-E-E-K-S.com. So we're a blockchain innovation hub. If you need help with understanding what blockchain is, or asking questions and getting answers from experts, or looking at guides, or maybe finding getting a job, or looking for a job, or looking for investment opportunities, or vice versa, whatever, we're the whole ecosystem for that. So that's blockgeeks.com. As for the crazy YouTube channel, it's just my name, Amir Rosic. So that's AmirRosic.com. And I warn you, it's just me talking shit randomly about random shit. So be warned.
That's awesome. Blockgeeks.com. You didn't ask me anything with Benji Rogers, who I interviewed on this show. He was super popular.
Oh, yeah.
Just over a year ago. So I'll link to the Ask Me Anything with him, as well as a couple of articles you've published that kind of explain the whole blockchain thing really, really well. And I'll also link to a couple of my favorite videos of yours. What about social media? Where can we track you down?
Just my name, just Amir Rosic. If you guys want to just track me down, it'll just be my name.
Twitter.
If you want to email me, it's all just my name. If you want to email me, it'll just be at amir@blockgeeks.com.
All right. I will link to BlockGeeks, some stuff about Bitcoin, Quora, the disk behavior assessment. I'll track his YouTube channel down and also him on social media for you. So you can hunt him down, ask him some more questions. Once you're done walking, jogging, working, whatever it is you're doing right now, that'll be there waiting for you on hacktheentrepreneur.com. Once again, Amir, thanks so much for joining me, man. Thanks for sharing. And please just keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's awesome and inspiring to watch.
Likewise, John. Have a great day, brother.
Amir, man, thank you. Thank you. I love getting to sit down and talk to you, man. you're a smart, smart dude with the energy is infectious. And I love your mindset on business and life. So I hope you out there listening, I hope you got as much out of that conversation as I did. Amir is a very, very, very smart dude. He's done a lot of cool stuff, and I cannot wait to see what he goes on to do with Block Geeks. But let's look at this conversation. I got to be a part of the conversation. Now we've reached the part in the show where I go back and I listen. I listen as a third party, as you get to listen out there. So I went back and I listened. Then I went back and I listened to the conversation again. And then I went back and I listened again. That third time through the conversation, there was a lot of things that Amir said. But there was one thing that when he said it, it really, really grabbed me that last time through. It was it. It was that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
There's no middle grounds with me. It's like either I'm all in and doing something or I'm out. That's it. There's no like one leg in or one leg out.
And that's the hack. Amir. I love this. I love this not just in general, but I love this as we head into the end of a year, because we're heading into a new year. And sometimes the years don't go as you wish. Sometimes they do. But this, I think, is the answer. This is the hack. If there's something I could distill down from 300 conversations with brilliant, brilliant entrepreneurs from around the world running 300 different businesses, it's going all in. It's going all in no matter what your market is, no matter what your product is, no matter what your service is, no matter how big the scale is or how small it could be. It's going all in confidently. It's going all in just like physically and mentally. It's going all in with your team. It's going all in on the product. It's going all in on the positioning. It's not this whole just like, should I do it? Or maybe if I do 10 different things, maybe one of them will work. It's going all in. And this goes back to a conversation I had with Danny Innie probably 6 months ago, maybe even a year ago. But it was kind of how going all in to find out if your idea is worth pursuing further, faster, rather than like sitting on the fence for a year and being like, well, maybe I'm kind of doing this, but kind of not, kind of afraid of failure, but also afraid to find out if it's any good or not. Just go all in, right? Amir is the most succinct hack we've had yet. There's no middle ground with me. I'm going all in or I'm not going for it at all. I either love you or I hate you. And he absolutely means it. And this is so true. As you head into the new year, decide what you want to do. Decide where you want to be a year from now and go all in. You don't need permission from me. You don't need permission from Amir. You don't need permission from anybody around you. Just decide to do it and do like Amir says and go all in. Amir, thanks, man. That was awesome. All right, hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Stop by, check it out. I'll have links to Amir. I'll have links to Block Geeks, some of those articles explaining this whole Bitcoin blockchain phenomenon, if you would like, as well as Quora. I'll find YouTube videos for you to watch. Actually, he's starting a new show, and I was on his show last week or the week before, so I'll track that down for you as well, plus his Twitter and this disc behavior that he talks about, which is really, really cool. And I sort of suggest you try it out. It's a good way to figure out what it is. That one thing, you know, that hard question, it really will help you sort of determine that about yourself. So yeah, hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Stop by. It's fun. Yeah. Get on the email list. It's a good place to be, I hear.
All right. It's been fun. Thank you so much for stopping by. I 100% appreciate it, as always. Thanks. All right. Until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.